This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So a major victory, really great piece today by Professor Jonathan Turley. At the Hill, Oberlin College case shows how universities are losing their way. For many who lament the shift from academics to activism across college campuses in the United States, Oberlin College in Ohio is the equivalent of the China syndrome during nuclear accidents, a point where chain reactions become impossible to stop or control. Oberlin students often find new issues to protest, even on one of the most liberal campuses in the world, like objections to serving sushi as cultural appropriation. As on other campuses across the country, these protests are encouraged by an array of faculty members and ever-accommodating administrators. This week, however, the bill came due. A jury awarded over $11 million in damages to a family bakery for being defamed as racist by its college students and officials. That motion was later followed by a whopping $33 million punitive award. It is only the latest example of how faculty members and officials are driving their institutions toward financial and intellectual bankruptcy thanks to their advocacy or acquiescence. This controversy began with a shoplifting case in 2016. An African-American student named Jonathan Aladin was caught trying to steal a bottle of wine from Gibson's Bakery, which was established in 1885 and had been closely tied to the college for over a century. When the grandson of the owner tried to stop the guy, a fight ensued and police were called. Aladin and two other students, Cecilia Whetstone and India Lawrence, were arrested. Students, professors, and administrators held protests, charging that the bakery was racist and profiled the three students. Oberlin maintains in court filings that the son and grandson of the owners of the bakery violently and unreasonably attacked an unarmed student, but that is not how the police viewed it. The guy was charged with robbery, which is a second-degree felony, and the two women were charged with first-degree misdemeanor assault. Police rejected claims of a racial motive and noted that over a period of 5 years, 40 adults were arrested for shoplifting at the bakery, but only six were African-American. It also is not how the court viewed it. When prosecutors cut a plea deal to reduce the charge to attempted theft, a local judge refused. He said the plea deal appeared to be the result of a permanent economic sanction by the college in which the victim had little choice but to relent. Ultimately, all three students pleaded guilty. The merits of the case did not seem to bother Oberlin officials or student protesters. Dean of Students Meredith Raimondo joined the massive protest and even handed out a flyer denouncing the bakery as a racist business. When some people contacted the college to object that the students admitted guilt, Special Assistant to the President for Community and Government Relations, Tita Reed, wrote that it did not change a damn thing for her. She also reportedly participated in the campus protests. Other faculty members at Oberlin College encouraged students who denounced the bakery. The chairman of Africana Studies posted the following: "Very proud of our students. Oberlin barred purchases from the bakery pending its investigation into whether it was a pattern and not an isolated incident." They also pressured Bon Appetit, a major contractor with the college, to cease business with the bakery. They even suggested that once charges are dropped, orders will resume, and added that she was baffled by their combined audacity and arrogance to assume the position of the victim. "It would be a statement that come back to haunt the college in seeking to avoid punitive damages by arguing that the financial loss was too great for a small school, a sentiment that escaped these officials in hammering a small bakery." Owner David Gibson had discussed the ruinous impact of the boycott with college president Marvin Krislov, and received little sympathy. He said two officials demanded that the bakery not call police when students shoplifted for the first time. Now, he objected, said his bakery loses a large amount of money to shoplifting and that the college was demanding the equivalent of a first-time shoplifter pass. Theater professor Roger Copeland spoke publicly against the treatment of the bakery, but a livid vice president for communications responded to colleagues in text messages with an expletive against that professor. And they also said they would unleash the students if they were not convinced that this needs to be put behind us. This, of course, is a troubling precedent for other institutions in higher education. Now, at a minimum, this verdict will be reduced to $22 million limit under state law, which is big. Now, Jonathan Turley, who is a professor at George Washington University. He's a great guy, very, very smart guy, constitutional lawyer. He says, we are reaching a critical point in higher education in the United States of America where leaders are ceding control to a small group of activist students and faculty members. Too often, those challenges are met not with acts of conscience, but with cowardice. Professors fear being labeled as either insensitive or racist for objecting to protests or changes on campus. Meanwhile, the costs mount with no reflection from administrators. Even with $44 million in total damages, that guy, the dean, still the dean, and the college remains unapologetic. Oberlin was founded in 1833 on the belief that it is peculiar in that which is good. What happened at the bakery was neither good for Oberlin nor for higher education. And this, of course, it comes after the college, you know, students objected that there were English classics that only white authors like William Shakespeare and on and on and on. So, you know, this is good. This is a great victory against political correctness. And this poor little, you know, mom and pop family bakery that was slandered, racist. They lost business, boycotts, university boycotting them. And so now they get to they have to pay. So bravo.
Talk radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.